So Galatians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 23 to 29. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to us. Speak to us, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. What we have seen and what we find again in this chapter is the law condemns us. The law condemns the sinner. The law condemns the sinner to death. But we also have the promise. In verse 14 of chapter 3. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen.
Verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect.
That's right.
The promise was given to Abraham. The law was given to Moses much, much later. But the Lord says, the law cannot cancel out the promise that was made to Abraham.
Right.
It's the promise that God made that stands.
Yes.
And we're looking at, well, why was the law given? And we've come now to this last section. And it says, before faith came, faith in what? Faith in the promise.
Yes.
Faith in Jesus Christ. Before faith came, we were kept under the law.
Yeah.
And that word kept has quite an interesting history to it, because it is a word that's used of a military guard.
Yes.
We're kept under guard, as it were. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, Paul is referring to the time he escaped from Damascus. And he said that Aretas, who was in charge, had put a garrison around the city.
Yes.
It's the same word, it's the same idea. He guarded the city with a garrison. It's a military idea. You're surrounded, you can't get away. We were kept under the law. That is the function of the law, to make sure that we don't break out, and particularly the people of Israel, that they would keep within the limits, that they should not be destroyed.
Yes.
With that guard, with that being kept, the idea of the military guard was that there should be no escape.
Yes.
Paul escaped. In his little story. Over the wall. Let down by a basket. In a basket. But there's no escape. That's the idea. For our own good. For the good of the people of Israel. For the good of us.
Yeah.
It's the laws there. That we don't break out. Into lawlessness.
Yes.
And against all the things that God has said we should not be doing. And doing the things that he said we should not be doing. But there's also another benefit to it as well. It protects us from enemy attack too.
Yes.
We can't get away, enemy can't get in. God put this law as a hedge about his people to protect them and to keep them.
Yes.
Until the promise should come. Before faith came, the law kept us surrounded. In a prison sort of thing. Confined. And it says here, shut up unto the faith. There was a purpose. There was something that the Lord was wanting us to look for, and to look towards. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
Yes.
Before faith came, but faith was going to be revealed. Faith that would bring us into the salvation of God.
Yes.
The law was there to keep God's people of old from falling away from God and being attacked and destroyed by the enemy. It's like a prison. The law, a military guard. And in verse 24, it says, wherefore? So that the law was our schoolmaster.
Now, Frank's been banging on about the schoolmaster for a couple of weeks now, but we've come to it at last, the schoolmaster. But actually, the Greek word is paedagogos. You say, what does that mean? Well, it gives us our English word, pedagogue. So I didn't know there was such a word.
The law was our pedagogue.
I think a nice word to use to translate it, give it a better meaning. There's an idea of tutor, but that's developed a certain meaning in our modern world, which is a little bit different from what it used to mean.
Back in the 18th and 19th centuries, wealthy families used to employ people
to look after their children, to educate them, but to look after them, get them up, get them washed and scrubbed, play games with them, teach them how to, difference between right and wrong, and to give them instruction in reading, writing, and so on. They called them governors or governesses.
Governess.
And they tutored the children.
Yes.
But it was more than teaching as we have in schools today. It was looking after the children.
Yes.
From the moment they got up to when they went to bed. They lived with the family. And in these times, where Paul is writing, families, certainly if they were from the Greek culture, used to have somebody to look after their children, to discipline them. It involved often the use of the cane. There are often descriptions in ancient writings of the pedagogues using the cane. In fact, Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians at one time, said, some of you are puffed up. Have I got to come to you with a rod, he says.
Yes.
He was being a pedagogue,
yes.
Looking after God's children. So, governor is a good term. Although it's, again, changed its meaning. But one that looks after, governs the children. They were very, in the context of the Paul's writing, they were very strong disciplinarians. Very strong and disciplined. Often they were from a slave background or something like that. They became the possession of the master and the family. But their job was to look after the children, to keep them under control, to surround them, to protect them, to stop them doing foolish things and to stop them being attacked by others as well.
Yes.
They were guardians of the children. And Paul says, that's what the law is like. It's like this governor who looked after the children. If they did wrong, they got disciplined.
Yeah.
That's what the law is like. That's what the law is like. You see, the law reveals God's standard. I'm talking about the biblical law.
Yes.
It reveals God's standard. It reveals what he expects. It says, as you will know, thou, if I use the old-fashioned, it makes it sound a little bit more severe. He says, thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that.
Yes.
That's the law. You know the Ten Commandments? In the way that they always used to be quoted in the old-fashioned thou form.
Yes.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not.
By
thou shalt worship the Lord your God.
No, graven images.
And there are penalties, there are consequences for disobedience. Why? To keep the people in check. To keep the people where they should be. The law was given so that, as with the governor, the pedagogue,
yes,
who keeps the children safe, lets them know what's right and what's wrong. God's law was provided to make a way to show what God's standards were so they should not be destroyed. In judgment. Is it a way of salvation? No, it's not. I mean, it could be, but the problem for us is that from the beginning, from Adam onwards, we've all been contaminated by sin, and there's no chance of our being able to keep the law. We fail before we start. All have sinned, the Bible says in Romans.
Yes.
All have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, the law brings condemnation. In verse 22, before what we read tonight, but in verse 22, it says the scripture has concluded. The scripture has locked up. Remember last week? Gotcha.
Yes.
You can't escape. The law has concluded, has enclosed, shut up all under sin, that the promise of faith, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we're sinners, and because we've fallen foul of the law, we have not kept the law. We were sinners from the start. We're under the curse. We're under the curse. Verse 10, earlier on in the chapter, says this. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse.
For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're under the curse. We've failed. What's the curse called? The curse of the law, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.
That's right.
The law is like a mighty military garrison surrounding and keeping the people of God in check until faith should come, until the promise by faith. The promise that was made to Abraham.
Yes.
All those years before. The pedagogue of old, the governor of old, maintained the standard by force, by rebukes, by punishment, for failures and for misdeeds, and so it is with the law.
Yes.
But the law also points us to God's promise. The law also points us to God's promise. We need salvation. We cry out for salvation. There's no hope in the law. We fail every time we try. But you see, there is a time scheme in God's bringing to us his salvation. The time was appointed from eternity for Jesus to come and to suffer and die the death of the cross, to bear the punishment that the law demanded.
Yes.
He had no sin. There was no penalty demanded for Jesus.
Right.
But he took our sin. The perfect man, the perfect Lamb of God, took our sin. And our sins were laid upon him, as Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 53. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Yes.
And he paid the price upon the cross of Calvary. But there's a time scheme, you see. It was not God's intention that we should be saved by the law. From the moment Adam sinned, there was no hope.
Right.
In terms of the law. Not only Adam, but everyone would fail. And so it says in verse 23, before faith came, by the law we are shown the need of a saviour.
Yes.
We need to be rescued. By the law we are shown our need for Christ. A perfect one. One without sin.
Yes.
You die in our place. That we might be justified by faith. The law was aggressive. Sometimes it demanded death. And ultimately, for all sin, death is demanded.
Yes.
But it was temporary. To keep us under control, as it were. And certainly to keep Israel of old under control. Until Christ would come to set us free.
Thank you.
Until Christ should make us sons of God and heirs of his righteousness by faith. The promise of God was given. It was given before Moses. It was given before the law was given. The promise of God was given to Abraham.
Yeah.
And only Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, could and can save us from the curse of the law, because he was made a curse for us.
Amen.
Well, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And through the promise that he made to Abraham, he makes us also of the seed of Abraham. You see, God promised to Abraham that his seed would be many, like the stars in the sky for multitude.
Yes.
I always regard that as referring to us. To Christians, to believers. Or as the sand of the sea, by the seashore, without number, God's earthly people,
yeah.
Heavenly, earthly. And God made the promise that it would be in Abraham's seed, singular, which Paul picks up on. And he says, Paul says, and that seed was Christ. And it's in Christ, when we have faith in Christ, and we are in Christ, and Christ in us, that we too become the seed of Abraham. The promise was made to Abraham in his seed.
Yeah.
When we're born again of the Spirit of God. Sons of God. Who no longer are controlled and governed, imprisoned and punished by the law. But sons of God who obey the law from within, because they are the sons of God. The old has been dealt with in Christ Jesus. The old nature has been dealt with in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And they're sons of God. Hallelujah. What are we in Christ? In Christ, we're no longer under a governor to keep us in control. What are we now? Just jump into chapter 4, in verses 4 to 7. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Yes.
Hallelujah, we've been adopted into another family.
Yes.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. No longer a child under the law. Things are different now. But in Christ, accepted by God, forgiven. Not just forgiven, cleansed. Not just cleansed, new creations.
Thank you, Lord.
So 2 Corinthians again says in chapter 5, verse 17, therefore if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A change has taken place. No longer need to be under the law. No longer need to be a prisoner to the law. No longer need to be under the pedagogue, the governor, to be kept under control. We are new creations. The old has been dealt with. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And it's all in Jesus.
Amen.
In verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, verse 29, it all focuses on Jesus, Jesus Christ. Verse 26, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all, it says in the Authorised Version, the children of God. The Greek says sons of God. You are all sons of God. You are all the sons of God, the sons of the heirs. The sons are those who inherit. You're all the sons of God. Praise the Lord. By faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We're all sons of God. It's not a matter of gender. Isn't the world crazy at the moment on gender issues? We're all heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. In verse 27, he says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we can say, you see, as it says in Galatians 2 a bit earlier on, in chapter Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Right. See, whether you're male or female, it's no longer you that's living, but Christ living in you. Right. You're sons of God. What's he talking about here? I believe he's talking here about Holy Spirit baptism. You see, when we read about water baptism, it tells us in Romans that we are baptized into the death of Christ. Baptized into the death of Christ. And raised as we are brought up to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
But listen what it says, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yes.
This is Holy Spirit baptism, that we might be in Christ and Christ in us, filled unto all the fullness of God. Bless the Lord. It's what the Lord has done. And in verse 28, and he says, you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus in every verse. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I'll come back to that verse in a moment. And in verse 29, and it says, if you be Christ's, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. There it is. It takes us right the way back to the promise that God made to Abraham. Then you are Abraham's seed. Therefore, you are heirs, not according to the law, you are heirs according to the promise. This is what God has promised. Verse 19 of chapter 3, going back again. Verse 19, wherefore does the law serve? What's the point of the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Till the seed should come. That seed is Christ. And now we are in him. We have been filled with him. And we are in him and he is in us.
Yes.
Baptized into Christ. It says, as many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
No longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. In Christ, we are the sons of God. In Christ, we are the sons of God. The law is no longer our judge, no longer our prison, no longer our governor, bossing us around, disciplining us. We're sons of God. We're free. Hallelujah. We're delivered. We live. God is our Father. There's a relationship here. God is our Father. We're born again of His Spirit, adopted in Christ Jesus. We're heirs of God by faith in God's promise that He made to Abraham, that in Abraham all nations, all peoples will be blessed. And the outward visible picture of that is our putting on Christ. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live according to His life and His power. Back in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 8, you're in the right place. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Yes.
That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him.
Yes.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. So the Scripture exhorts us, likewise, to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are here in Galatians. In verse 28 it says, Galatians 3 and verse 28, that we are all, you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all sons of God. Hallelujah. All one in Christ Jesus. Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. We're all the seed of Abraham. The Jew, physically, the seed of Abraham. But both Jew and Gentile become spiritually the seed of Abraham. Heirs of the promise. Bond or free, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're a slave, whether you're a free man. It doesn't matter whether you're high ranking, low ranking. For all people that are in Christ Jesus, we are heirs together. On the same level.
Amen.
And then it says male or female. No difference. See, this verse is so often misinterpreted by people these days with all the gender issues. It's got nothing to do with who should be doing what. The Bible tells us quite clearly who should be doing what in terms of male and female.
Yeah.
But as far as our being in Christ Jesus is concerned, being heirs of the promise of God, it makes no difference whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
The same promise. Same,
same promise.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 29. We are Abraham's seed. To whom the promises were made. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Under the law? No. No. Forgiven. Dead. The law's demands have been met as far as we're concerned. We're dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
Yes.
But alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new life. We're in a new family. What was it under the law? Under the law. There was no forgiveness. Under the law, there was no life. Under the law, there was no family. Under the law, there was a need to be restrained and to be held back. But in Christ, you're set free. In Christ, we can live as God wants us to live. Don't sell yourself short. Oh, we can never do, we can never be. We can. It's the whole revelation that's given. Christ in me and I in Christ. A new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Stop going on the old dribble of, oh, we're always going to be sinners. We're always going to do wrong. No. There's victory in Jesus.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Power.
The Bible does say, in 1 John chapter 2, and it's always to bear in mind, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But the norm for the believer in Christ Jesus, filled with the Spirit, is we live the life of victory. Praise the Lord. Not saying that we'll be perfect, and we are perfect in Christ Jesus. But I'm not saying that there'll never be an occasion where we might sin. But it's the exception rather than the rule.
Amen.
if we sin. Under the law, it's when you sin. When you sin, you're going to get this punishment. When you sin, this is going to happen. In Christ Jesus, it's if we sin. But you don't have to. There's always a way of escape for the believer. There's always a way of deliverance. Praise the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians later on, and we'll come to that another time. You're pushing us to the end of Galatians now. But if we live in the Spirit, and if we walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians later on, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the promise of victory. Praise the Lord. In Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, we're set free. We can live as God wants us to live. He's the only Saviour. He's the giver of eternal life. The only one who can save from sin. Deliver. Set free. And the giver of eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
He sets us apart. We're sanctified. Glory. He justifies us. He declares that we're righteous. Let's live like that. Amen. In him and in his power. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.